Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we are going to be focusing on 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But we're going to start in verse 10. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. We've been talking this month about the joy of the harvest. And the verse that I'm going to read, the end of it says, and maybe some of you are familiar, it says, "And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that's within you." And that's a verse that the Lord just was stirring in my heart early this week. Always be ready to give a defense of the reason of the hope that's within us. And you'll see, we'll look at later, but it says, it's talking about not to be afraid of their threats, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. So let's go ahead and stand and read that verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Like Rick was saying, "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You can be seated. So notice this verse 13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." I have learned something that's very helpful in keeping a right perspective. And this might sound silly, but it helps me quite often. And that is, whenever I get this week, I'm just going to be honest. I had some emotional days this past week. You know, I just had some moments of just being really emotional. Jude has been in the room with us because there's been work done on our house all week. And so we've been, all of us, staying at my mom's house. And so Jude has been in a pack and play in the room with us. And Jude does not like, he is not like other babies that will just lay on me and sleep. No, no, no. If he is awake, he is running. And so if he's awake at 3 a.m, he wants to be up, you know, running around the house. And so this week I wasn't sure. I'm not sure if some of it was just tired because of not sleeping quite as well. But I've learned this secret. And that is that whenever you find yourself just struggling with whatever, you know, whatever you're going through at the moment, do you know that there's always going to be people that have it better than you, that, you know, their life is easier and maybe they're not going through a hardship or a trial right now. But do you know there's always going to be somebody who has it harder than you? And so I have found that if I will focus on how many people have it so much harder than me, like V that I read about a couple of weeks ago, who is in Korea, and her and her family have been exiled to a mountain because the government says they're not worthy of a bullet. So they've just exiled them, all for their faith. They aren't suffering because they're evildoers, like this says. They are suffering simply for righteousness' sake. And I have learned that whenever I just feel like, oh, my life is just a little hard right now, or maybe I'm just a little frustrated right now, if I will focus on how many people across the world have it so much worse, Christians that their families are separated, that one part of their family is in prison, or, you know, being held, you know, in front of ISIS because of what they've been through, you know, because of what they're, simply because of their faith, just because they believe in Jesus. And so then it has a way of turning my perspective, and then I start praying, God, please strengthen them, please help them. And, you know, if we will just recognize that no matter what we go through, all of it is temporary. The truth is, anything that we go through down here is temporary. And if as Christians we choose to focus continually on Jesus and on eternity, if we are like John Bevere's message that he preaches that's really good, called Driven by Eternity, if our whole life is driven by eternity, it will change our perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have fleshly moments, because trust me, I am, you know, I have had some of those this past week that my flesh was just struggling, you know, and my emotions were with my flesh struggling, you know. But listen, we don't have to live there. We can set our mind on things. We can count our blessings, like the old song says. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. That's that old hymn that we sang growing up. But listen, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, because let's be honest. I mean, there are some things it is very hard to give thankful for. But in every situation, we can give thanks, because you know what? God is always faithful. And so if we will learn, rather than allowing our circumstances to just come down on us and focus us on ourselves or inwardly or whatever it is, if we will continually choose to focus on the Lord, to focus on who he is, to focus on how good he is, to focus on that whatever I am going through is only temporary ultimately, because everything is going to change when we live with Jesus. You know, I mean, it's a silly thing, but not a silly thing, but it's an important thing I was thinking, because I really miss some of the families that have left. I really miss them. And I was talking to Michelle Wood on the phone, and I said, you know what, though? The truth is, if God has sent them there to minister where they are, and God will use them to draw their family to the Lord, I told her, we could spend eternity together. I mean, we have all of eternity that we get to hang out and spend together. And so if the Lord has needed to move them over there for his purpose, to allow them to minister where they are, then you know what? So be it. Because ultimately, if we're focusing on eternity, eternity is forever. So, you know, God has a way of keeping our perspective right. Now, that doesn't mean that our emotions don't have moments of struggle. It just means that we bring our emotions into line with the right perspective and say to God, God, you are worth it. Even if my body is tired, even if my emotions are weepy, God, you're worth it. And you're faithful. And you're good. And so here it says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. That's hard for us to imagine, that you're blessed if you're suffering when you haven't done anything wrong. Like, if you're suffering because you're righteous, that's hard for us to understand. But do you know that the Bible says great is the reward of people if they suffer for Jesus? I mean, and that's for eternity. So the rewards that those people are building up, they're suffering down here, but the rewards that they're going to receive is for eternity. It will last forever. Nobody will steal it. I mean, it will be there forever. And so if we learn to have a kingdom mindset and an eternity perspective, it will change everything that we focus on. It will change our whole way of living. So God said to them, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. And we're going to talk some more about that, because the next part, we always have to read verses in context. And this is important, that God told them, don't be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. We can learn to have our focus. And even like I said, I have learned as a Christian, and I say this because I feel like it's important for us to understand, the fact that we have faith doesn't mean that our emotions don't slip sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't have moments where we don't feel fearful. It means that in those moments where our feelings are fearful, we bring those feelings back in line with the Bible says, I don't have to be afraid of their threats. I don't have to be troubled. And the Holy Spirit rises up within us, because the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are bold as a lion. And when that scripture rises up within us, then we can speak out in boldness. And sometimes it comes immediately and you don't even have to stir it up. Like, I've had times where the boldness from God just rises and I'm amazed at like how bold I'm able to be. But there's other times that my feelings are wavering and I have to go to the scripture and say, the Lord says that I do not have to be afraid, or I don't have to whatever. I don't have to be anxious, or whatever it is. So this scripture, verse 15. So we're going to just kind of focus now on verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Look in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Now, it's interesting. I looked this up because it says sanctify the Lord in your heart. Well, if you look up the word sanctify, it means a lot of things but basically it means to set apart. It means to hallow. It means, I can't find for some reason my definitions that I thought I had on here. But anyway, throughout the Bible, God says, I will sanctify them. He says, sanctify yourselves. He says, sanctify the house. He says, sanctify the land. But there are only two places in the Bible where it says, sanctify the Lord. And that's Isaiah 8 and 1 Peter 3:15. And so it's important to look at the context here. So Isaiah 8 says, I'm going to read it in the King James because that's where it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts, because it says hallow in New King James. So anyway, for the sake of continuity, let's look at it in King James. Say you not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy or treason, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So, how do you really sanctify the Lord in your heart? Because a lot of times we read these things and we get so used to hearing these verses, especially if you've been raised in church, you find that you've heard a verse so many times that when you really sit down and go, what does that mean? Like, how do you actually sanctify the Lord in your heart? And so that's kind of where I was. And so the heart is important to understand. The heart is basically the center of all things. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We talked about this morning and in Sunday school last week, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so a lot of the Christian life is to come from the heart. So if we look at the verses around 1 Peter 3:15 and Isaiah 8:13, like I said, it's telling the people not to fear, not to be afraid. That's important because fear has a way of consuming you at the moment. If you've ever had a moment of fear, I don't feel like I have a lot of moments of just really fear. But I looked up some pictures. I was trying to find a picture to show y'all of people's faces of fear, but most of them were fake. Like you could tell they were going, oh, you know, that's not the same. Like I'm talking about genuine, like the hair on the back of your neck is standing up and you are afraid. Like that hasn't happened to me a whole lot in my life. But when you get really scared, it consumes your mind to the point that it can immobilize you, where you're just frozen. Like you can't think, you're just consumed by fear in that moment. All your thoughts are involved in the process, your emotions, your body. So why would God in this verse tell us, let him be your fear and let him be your dread? Well, in our heart, we need to have the fear of God first. And that's important to understand because it balances us as Christians. The way that fear consumes us should be the way that God consumes us. But the danger that we have as Christians is if we take one verse and then apply it to everything we know about God. And see, this is what some people do. They go, well, you're supposed to fear the Lord. So how can you have a loving relationship with him? You should just always be in fear all the time. We throw out all the verses that say God is our Father and that he loves us and that we can come to him and that we can bring our requests to him and all of these things. And so it's important that we understand the balance. But let's stay on this fear thing for a minute. So look in Luke 12, 4-5, and maybe a lot of you guys have heard this, but this is what Jesus said. He said in Luke 12, 4-5, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. So he's saying the same thing. Look, don't be afraid of people. Even if they have the power of killing your body, don't be afraid of them. Because after that, they have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now, see people that just go, oh, but God just loves everybody. And he's just going to be understanding when people stand before him. He can't throw anybody to hell because he just loves people. They have apparently not read this verse. Yeah. I mean, the truth is, we are to fear Almighty God and understand that when he makes commandments to us, they are just that. They are commandments, not suggestments. Because a lot of the scripture, we take it like it's a suggestment. Like God's going, well, you know, I would like for you to do this. I understand that the world is hard and that you can't do that. But, you know, if, you know, try a little bit. God, that is not what the word of God says. Many of the things that God commands us, including love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. It is not a suggestment. It is not a suggested way of living. It is a commandment. Like God says, I am commanding you to do this. And so, now that's important for us to understand the fear side of God. But does that mean that we're afraid of him? Of course not, all the time. Now there are moments that we should be afraid. We should fear him. We should be afraid of stepping out of line and being okay with it. And that's the sad thing, is that people get so comfortable with God that they go, well, I know that God's told me that I shouldn't be doing this anymore, but I think he understands. God does not understand when he tells us not to do things. And we should not make it like it's okay. We should be, I know that God is telling me and I am struggling with my flesh, but I am repenting every time I fall. And thanking God for his great mercy that he does not quit on us after the first time. Because God is great in mercy. And he doesn't quit on us after the first time. But if my kids, if I told them to do something and they said to me, well, Mom, I knew that you told me to do it, but I didn't think you really meant it. Because we've had those conversations. Are you kidding me? You know, what did you think I meant? And so it's important. Sometimes my children, fear of punishment will sometimes get them back in line. Like we'll be talking and sometimes they cross over the line and I will say, okay, this is where we are now. And this is the punishment that you're receiving. And all of a sudden they believe what I have to say again. And that's important. The truth is that is a good way of training, is that fear of punishment will bring them back into line. That's why Jesus talked about hell, because he wanted people to understand there is a line. And if you cross it, or if you don't live godly, you will go there. And so it's important that we understand that. But the balance of the Bible is what keeps us straight. We do need to fear him. But sometimes it's important, actually all the time, because my kids sometimes, especially Silas, because he's the youngest, sometimes he's afraid like that what he's done will make me upset. And so he doesn't want to tell me. And he'll, I don't want to tell you, Mom. But because his heart is dealing with him, he'll come and he'll tell me. And sometimes that's the way it is with us and God. Like, you know, we know that what we've done wrong and we're afraid of him. And so we come to him. But we know, Silas knows that I love him. And so he will come to me and he will mention it because he knows that I love him. And the relationship is important. That's how we need to be with God. We need to understand that God wants to be in right relationship with us. And so even if we're kind of fear and God, I know that I don't deserve forgiveness. And I know that I have blown it for what seems like the 12th time. But God, I need to be in right relationship with you. And I need for you to restore me. And I need for you to work in this situation, even though I don't deserve it. God, I know that Jesus is my righteousness. And that's why I can come to you, because of what you've done. And we come in right relationship with him. And he restores the relationship because he is a loving father. And because he does love us. And so, if we truly fear him, we will honor him. As I said, be careful that you don't just take one scripture and make a doctrine out of that. My mom has told me that all my life. We have to balance all the scriptures that God says. And God is so good that if you will listen to the Holy Spirit, he will give you a scripture that you need at the right time. Now, the devil will bring confusion, so I'm just going to warn you, because the devil knows the scripture too, and he makes sure that what you're hearing is in the right way, that it's coming from God. But I have had God push me right back into line whenever I was having a pity party one day, and just as clear, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed. And I went, well, okay then. You know what I'm saying? I realized my life is not that hard. You know, it was like God just pushed me back into line. Now I've had other times where God just lovingly reminded me how much he loves me and that he's for me and that he cares about me. And so if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he will show us which part of God applies to the situation where we are. Because look, all of us are multifaceted. Sometimes we're, you know, sometimes we're merciful. Sometimes we're loving. Sometimes we're harsh and strong and, you know, we discipline. God is the same. He has multiple sides. So we need to understand that. Now, I want to show you, it's very important if we're going to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. Now, those of you that know me well, you know that I am not an artist. I have great respect for people that are because I have zero talent when it comes to art. And also, my illustration, I'm going to have to explain to you, I realize, because it might be a tad confusing if you don't understand what it is. So just listen close and I'll explain to you so you can understand. So I don't know. Can you guys see in the back? Can y'all see this if I tape it up here? Or should I have people come and hold it? Hold it. Okay. Okay, y'all just stand maybe up on the stage and hold it up so y'all can see it. Okay, so yeah, just hold it. There we go. Okay, so listen, this is going to represent, it says sanctify the Lord your God in your heart. Okay, so this is represents our heart. So notice God is at the very center of our heart. Now also the cross is at the center because listen, if we really are surrendered to the Lord Jesus, if we have made Jesus Lord of our life, the cross is an active part of our life. It has to be. It has to be when wrong attitudes come up, when people treat us the wrong way, when you don't feel like worshiping or you don't feel like giving or you don't feel like doing. The cross is an active part of our Christian life. But notice all of these other things, health, family, food, self, clothes, needs, everything else, friends. All of these other things are secondary to God being in our heart, first and foremost, in everything that we do. He also fills in multiple other places in our heart. So he is number one. It's kind of like that when you have a jar and you have to put the big things in first, and then you put the pebbles in, and then you put the sand in, and you fill it in. If you don't put first things first, though, some of the most important things won't fit in your life. And this is how we have to live as Christians. Because notice, Jesus said things like, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear, because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Sometimes we can magnify the wrong thing in our life. And then when we're doing that, we're not sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. We can elevate other things and make those things bigger. If you guys flip it around for a second, because our lives can look like this. Notice this is our heart. This is our heart. And we still need food. We have needs. We have clothes. We have health and family. And I didn't put friends on there, but you know, all of those things can be on there. But notice how God is relegated to a corner. Now I have two because little g, some people, they relegate God all the way down to he's really like, I believe in him, but I don't really believe. I'm not really even sure that I believe that he's God of the universe, but that's not true for most Christians. The thing that can happen for people who believe in God is that you can still believe he's God with a capital G. Do you know that the Bible says the devils believe and tremble? In James 2:19, people say, well, I believe in God. Yeah, the devil does too. In fact, in Isaiah 14, when he was talking about himself, he said, I will be like the Most High. The Most High. So he obviously still thought God was a pretty big deal. But he's elevated self to the same degree as God. We need to be very careful in our Christian life that we don't elevate self to the same degree as we do God. Or these other things, needs and clothes and health and food, because all of those things are fine. They're not wrong in and of themselves in their proper place. But if they displace Almighty God, we're making a mistake. And the sad thing, and I want y'all to look at this one more minute and then we're going to move on. But the sad thing about this is that a lot of people that are living this way, because God is still in a corner of their lives and he still has a big G, they think they're, you know, God just understands that I have these needs. Like, God understands that I have to do these things and I have to, listen, all of our schedule needs to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus and say to God, God, I sanctify you first and foremost. Everything else falls in line under what you have told me to do and what you're telling me to do on a daily basis. Like, you are first. All of these other things need to just, like I said, if you've never seen it, God goes first, like a big rock that goes in first. Everything else has to fit in after that. And if it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit. You take it out of your life. You don't put other things in first and go, well, God, this is the time that I have left. I have time for this. And it's not just in our schedule. You guys can put that down. Thank you. It's in our thinking and the way that we live our lives and the way that we respond. I brought some tape, so. Yeah, we can just tape it up there. So. As we dedicate our whole heart to him, our daily life becomes influenced by his thoughts and his desires, what's important to him. Do you know that Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But do you know that the word delight means to be soft or pliable? If I am continually being soft or pliable with him, if I am delighting in him, he can give me. We can look at that two ways, and I've said this before, but you can look at it that if I am delighting myself in him, then he can give me what I want. And that is true sometimes, because if we are focused on him, then he can give us what we want, because that thing then doesn't become our focus. And I'm going to tell you, with this Irma thing, I have had to fight not to get so focused on my house that I get away from my responsibilities to the church, my responsibilities to prayer. I mean, and so I've worked and asked God, please help me, Lord, not to get focused over here. But for you, your house might not have been messed up by Irma, but there will always be something that can consume you. You know, the kids can get involved in sports and it can consume you. All of that stuff has to stay secondary, you know, to the Lord Jesus and to living in honor of him. Because sacred means dedicated or set apart. And so we are to sanctify the Lord. As we sanctify him in our hearts, we stay humble and willing to listen and change what he would have us to change. Because I'm going to tell you, this kind of lifestyle, it means that at times your life will change. Like, your schedule will change, where God will go, yeah, I don't want you to do that right now. I want you to do this instead. As Christians, we have to be pliable so that God can change us. That means our schedule. That means things that are tradition for us, things that have always been important for us. We need to be willing to lay those things on the altar and say to God, God, is this your will or is this mine? Is this how I'm used to doing it, or is this how you want me to do it? That's what part of what sanctifying the Lord in our hearts means. And the cool thing is, if we do the first part of that verse, the rest of it will come. We will always be ready to give a reason of the defense of the hope that is in us, because if we're focused on him, he is our hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and hope is the anchor for the soul. The Bible says, so as we keep our eyes on him and sanctify him in our heart, then we're ready to give a reason of the hope that's within us. Now, I'm just going to be very honest and say that doesn't mean, like I said earlier, I am trying very hard. God, I want every minute of every day to be dedicated to you, to think what you want me to think, to say what you want me to say. But there have been times this past week where I was about to leave Dollar General, because I think I went in there like 10 times this week. Like, I was about to leave Dollar General, and I realized, man, I have been focused on what I needed. God, is there something? Like, I saw a lady in there, and I said, but I stopped for a minute. I said, Lord, I just kind of slowed down, because I walk fast. Like, is there something you want me to say? I missed the first few minutes of being in the store, but the Lord helped me by the end of the moment that I was in the store. So sometimes we can get our focus off and onto other things. But the thing is, if we sanctify the Lord God in our heart, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're only ever singing praise and worship songs. You know, that we can't go to work, that we can't change a diaper, that we can't talk to our friends. It just means our ear is always open and our heart is always on Him. God, was that okay that I just, do you want me to say something different? Do you want me to respond differently? How do you want, and we can train ourselves. It does require training, but you can train yourselves to live this way. To your ears open. God, what do you want me, how do you want me to respond? Is there something you want me to say? Did I just veer? Did I just get my focus off of you and onto me? And He'll show us, and then we can get it straight. So, Jesus said, and I'm not going to belabor this. We're going to wrap this up in just a minute. But Jesus said the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That's what Jesus, the Almighty Son of God, said. That's the first commandment. And I think it's easy for people to take that commandment with a grain of salt, so to speak, and say, well, you know, I think that God understands that I don't love Him with all of my heart. I mean, I'm trying. Listen, we should always be trying, but consistently being repenting where we're missing it. Because if I just go, well, God understands that this is where I am, then I have no reason to change. Like if I say to my kids, well, I understand that that's just how you are. I am saying to them, you are free to stay the way that you are. I understand this is just how you are. If though I say to them, I understand that this is where you are, but this is where I expect you to be. And then we work to get there. That's what we do with us and God. And so, the sad thing is, we can separate what we say and what's in our heart. That's why it says, sanctify in your heart and love the Lord with all your heart. Isaiah 29:13, I want to read this, and then we're going to end with one more verse. But this is what God told Isaiah to tell His people, the Israelite people. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. We need to think about what this means, because we can get to this place. The more that we learn about God, the more that we can say right things. And it's so much more than that. It's so much more than being able to regurgitate the right answer to the question that we're being asked. Because we all know, you can say the right answer with your mouth and have the wrong answer in your head and in your emotions. Like, I can say what I think you want me to hear, but that doesn't mean that my actions are actually going to do what I'm saying. And so God is not honored simply because we know the answers to Bible trivia questions. He is honored because of where our heart is. The end of that verse, it says, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. This is very important, because the goal is that the fear of God would come from inside our heart, not from outside. Now, as a parent, I'm called, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go. I am called to train my children in the way of the Lord. But the older they get, the more that their outward training needs to meet the inward training of the Holy Spirit. The goal as parents is not for us just to train them from the outside. It's for us to train them from the outside and the Holy Spirit to train them from the inside. And in order for us to do that, we have to be consistently listening to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes He will tell us to respond in a different way because He knows where they are. I've had times where I really wanted to say a little bit more harshly to my children, and God said, you need to go and you need to, you know, be the bigger person here. And I'm thinking, I don't want to talk to them right now. I'm still mad at them right now. You know, so we have to listen, because the Holy Spirit knows how to respond to people, and especially to our children. So if you only teach a child or a church member, for people sitting in church, from the outside, and there's no training coming from God being sanctified in their hearts, they can learn to spit back out right things without it changing them from the inside. This is what happens to people in churches all the time. Adults that sit in the pews, and they can give you all the right answers, but if you have not sanctified the Lord God in your heart, then you will be able to spit back right answers without God the Holy Spirit working on the inside. And we need both. We need both. We need to train our children. We need to tell them the right things. We need to be in church and let people train us and learn from the things. We need to be studying the Word. And we need to be letting the Holy Spirit deal with us on the inside. So, it's supposed to be coming from the inside, from the Holy Spirit, and from the outside. Because if we're sanctifying God in our hearts, then everything else that we do will come out of that. What's interesting is that when your heart is set on Him, then He will strengthen us to do what He is calling us to do. The last verse is Philippians 1:21. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I heard a comedian this past week, I think it was, or last week, and he was talking about Paul, and he said, "My dad used to always say, I want to be like Paul." He said, and then as I got older, I started reading about Paul, and he said, I was like, "Why would you want to be like Paul? He was shipwrecked and beaten, you know, a bunch of times and all, you know, all kinds of this. Why would you want to be like him? You know, why wouldn't you, you know, get somebody else?" But we can do that as Christians. But you know, Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." We should want to be like Paul. We should be willing to say, "God, if I have to suffer for you, so be it. God, I want to follow you, whatever it looks like." Because Paul was radical for Jesus. And I don't want just basic Christianity that gets me through life and makes my life a little better in moments. I want to be on fire, radical for Jesus, doing His will every minute of every day. That's the goal. That's what I'm reaching toward. And God will help us get there the more that we reach. But if we lay back and go, "Well, that's a little too much for me. I don't really want to try that hard. I don't, you know, I don't really think I want to go through any of those things." Listen, I have prayed since I was a small child when I watched the Left Behind End Time movies. And I got scared then about suffering for Jesus. I'm just telling you. "Oh God," I would talk to my mom, "what if I have to suffer for Jesus? What if I have to go through torture?" And she would always tell me, "Shannon, you don't have grace for that yet. In the moment, you will have grace for that." And so I learned. But I have prayed for many years, "God, help me to be willing." Not because my flesh was like, "Yes, I want to suffer for Jesus." But because I was like, "God, help me. Whatever you want me to go through, help me to be prepared." So, if you need prayer, if you need to just sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, I just want to invite you to do that. Just open your life up to God. That's the best way to do it. Is just say to God, "God, would you show me, like, is this really what my heart looks like? God, are there things in my life to where maybe have I elevated some of these other things? Have I elevated maybe some of these other things above you? Have I relegated you to a corner? Even if it's just for a couple of hours or for a couple of days. God, I want you to stay front and center. I want the cross to stay front and center in my heart every day, all day." Amen.